For our scripture reading this morning, we're in Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Beginning at verse 1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Moab. Country of Edom. I don't know where I got that. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I might find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord would said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother: 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, "Pass over before me, and put a space between drove and drove." And he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us." And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the droves, saying, "On this manner shall you speak to Esau when you find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me." So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. All right, so we have the reading of the scriptures. We'll be looking at this in just a few moments. Right now, home again. But let's pause and have a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word, for these stories that we read throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. And we thank you, Lord, for teaching us so many things through the lives of these people. And we pray that we might apply your word to our own hearts today and help us that we might truly get something that will be helpful in the days that lie ahead. We do pray especially for our vacation Bible school that starts this evening. We pray that we might truly be able to help these boys and girls in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might come to know him personally as their Lord and Savior, and that they might walk in fellowship with him day by day in their activities. Lord, we just ask you to guide and help us as we seek to teach your word. Give us wisdom and understanding that we might be able to get it across to each and every person. And Lord, we pray this morning for those who are going through difficult times. We know it's not easy when you're sick and have health problems especially. And we ask you to be with each one who is going through these difficult times. We do pray especially this morning for Joanne as she is facing this surgery on her knees. We just pray that everything will go well for that, and that she will be able to get through this and not have the pain and suffering that she's going through. And Lord, you know each and every one, and you know our hearts today. You know what we're facing in our lives. So we ask you to just give us that wisdom and understanding. Help us to make sure that we are following your will and walking in the way that you'd have us to go. We pray that you just bless our church. Lord, help us, we pray. We pray that we might be able to accomplish all that you have for us to do. And we pray that you'll meet every need. Guide and direct us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. From Jacob to Israel. You know, Jacob has finally freed himself from Laban. Laban has gone back home again, and he and his family are on their way back to the promised land, the place that God gave him. Now he's going to go claim it. God has greatly blessed Jacob with a large family. He's made him very prosperous. Now he's returning home and must face his brother Esau, not knowing what the outcome will be. In the message today, we see how God worked in this man's life to transform him from Jacob, the conniving scoundrel, to Israel, a prince with God. It's quite a change. Notice, first of all, it says in verse 1, Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. He saw the angels. You know, as he traveled, suddenly God's angels appeared to him, making him realize that he was not alone. You know, this is a long journey. I think 450 miles or something like that. Slowly, with all the entourage that he had with him. Now he realizes that God is there as well. They gave him special encouragement and protection. You know, angels are usually unseen, but they're always on hand. You know, and Jacob had seen them 20 years before at Bethel. You remember when he was on his way up to see to live with Laban and his family? He stopped at this place and he saw this vision that God gave to him of the ladder going up to heaven with the angels of God going up and down on it. Speaking there, and he made a covenant with God. He made a vow to God that he would serve him at that point. Bethel, the house of God. That's what it means. And angels, though higher beings than us, are ordained by God to be our servants. Tells us that over in the book of Hebrews. That they minister to those who are called to God. And they ministered in the life of Jesus, the angels, you remember? When he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, afterwards the angels came and ministered to him and comforted him and helped him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels came. And of course, we read about the resurrection story, and the angels are very prominent there, aren't they? They rolled the stone away, I suppose, or it seems that they must have. A stone was rolled away. The angel was sitting there on it and gave the message, "He is not here, but he is risen," as he said. You know, what a wonderful thing that is. The angels of God. And you know, they're all around. We don't see them. But he makes his angels to be our servants. I have a story here. John Patton, a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands, told of how one night hostile natives surrounded his mission's headquarters, intent on burning the Pattons out and killing them. He and his wife prayed through the entire night, and when daylight finally came, their attackers all left. A year later, the chief of the tribe became a Christian, and Patton asked the man about that night. The chief replied, "Who were all those men you had with you there?" The missionary explained only he and his wife were there. The chief insisted he had seen hundreds of big men with shining garments and swords circling the mission headquarters, so the natives were afraid to attack. Isn't that something? Now, I've heard of the other stories like this, and of course we have the one, I think it's over in 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6, I believe it is, of Elijah, and his encounter with the angels, 6. Oh, it's the wrong one. I'm sorry. I thought it was there. But anyway, they were surrounded by the army, and Elijah's servant was afraid that they were going to overtake them. And Elijah said, "Lord, open his eyes." He said he looked, and all around them there were these blazing chariots and angels all over the place, protecting them from this army. So we know that over and over again. And it says over in Hebrews, be careful how you entertain strangers, because some people have entertained angels unawares. You never know who you're going to come in contact with. So Jacob realizes this is a significant event, and He names this place Mahanaim, which means two hosts or two bands. See, where the his band, his group of people, and the angels are there as well. So this is comforting to him to know that the angels are there to protect him, to help him, to guide him along the way. They're always nearby. And so then Jacob prepares himself to meet Esau. You remember, he sends Esau a message seeking to reconcile with his brother. He sent messengers and told him he's on his way back and he has all of these children and all of these animals and how God has blessed him. And you notice how he speaks to himself. He says, "Thy servant Jacob, my Lord Esau." You know, younger, he had put himself ahead of Esau, right? He had stolen his birthright. He had stolen his blessing. But now he says, "I'm your servant. You're my Lord." See? And he's trying to get on the good side of Esau. And so he sends a message and he receives an answer back that Esau is on his way to meet him with 400 men. And you remember the last time he saw Esau, 20 years before this, Esau had said, "I'm going to kill you." Remember? So, rightly, I think, he's afraid. You know, he's not too anxious to meet his long-lost brother because he has said he's going to kill him. So he remembered all these threats and it bothered him. So in his fear, Jacob turns to God in prayer. Isn't that the right place to go? When you have trepidation, fear, uncertainty, you don't know what to do, turn to God in prayer. Now he was still doing some other things on his own and all of that, but he did turn to God in prayer. That's so important. And here he shows humility in the sight of God. Verse 9, Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said unto me, return to thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." So here he's humbling himself before him. He knows that he is the Lord. He's the master. He's the God. And he's bowing before him in humility, remembering the things that he has said to him. And he appeals to God for his promises. He says, "Lord, this is what you said, and I'm seeking to obey you. Please be with me. Help me. Protect me. Watch over me. Keep me." Verse 10, he says, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." He says, "You've prospered me so much. I went away by myself, and now I'm coming back with all of the prosperity that you have given to me and all of this family that you have allowed me to have." So he admits his unworthiness and thanks God for all that he has given to him. And then he makes a specific request here in verse 11. He says, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." So this is his request. Protect me, deliver me, and keep your word, keep your promises. Verse 12, he said, "You said, I will surely do thee good, make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." So he's reminding God of what he had said and praying that he will watch over him and protect him and keep him from all harm. So it's wonderful to be able to go to God in prayer in a time like this. A time of uncertainty, a time of fear and not knowing exactly what to do on your own. Going to God, we can come to Him. And whatever our situation might be, and know that He hears and answers us. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. You have a need? Take it to the Lord in prayer. He'll answer you. And it's wonderful to know that He cares for us, that He's always there to help us in every situation of life. We don't have to face it alone, because God is there to help us and to meet our needs. And so we find here that we, like Jacob, have to look to the Lord for our needs, and not our own selves, our own ingenuity. We need to look to God and know that He has the answer for us. So then we find something very strange here. Jacob sets up everything. You see how he divides the family up? And he says, you know, if Esau comes and attacks one group, then maybe the other group can get away. So he puts them in different places according to their family and according to the wife that is with that group. And he then goes across the river there and waits. So Jacob here, I said, meets his master. Beginning at verse 24, we find that he's all alone there. All the rest of them are in a different place. And probably, I don't know, but I would think he's continuing to pray. Wouldn't you think so? In a situation like this, all alone, he's there. And it says, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Can you imagine? All night long. Where did this man come from? It says Jacob was alone. All of a sudden, somebody shows up and grabs a hold of him and starts wrestling with him. Boy, that would shake you up a little, wouldn't it? What do you think? Well, who is this guy anyway? Where did he come from? It doesn't really tell us, does it? It says it was a man. Who is this man? Why did he attack Jacob? And it's amazing with all the story that they've got here in detail. There's only a couple of verses that talk about this, which seems like the most important part of the story, but it's only mentioned in passing, actually, right? A man wrestling with him. You know, one of our nights in vacation Bible school is devoted to Christophany, second night, right? Christophany. What does Christophany mean? Well, you can see the first part. What does it say? Christophany. Right? Christophany? Okay. These are the appearances of Christ previous to His time coming to the earth. You see it in the Old Testament. It talks about the Lord and two angels came and visited with Abraham. Remember? We find again with Moses, there was the burning bush episode, and God spoke from the bush. He was there. And over again, we find this. In Joshua, there's this man that meets him before the battle of Jericho, and he says, I am the captain of the Lord's host. Who was he? It speaks of him as some places of the angel of the Lord. And yet at the same time, it gives him the qualities of God Himself. So it seems logical that this is referring to the Lord Jesus appearing before his birth in Bethlehem. Well, that's quite a trick, isn't it? What do you think about that? Well, as we, again, about the Vacation Bible School, the whole point of it is that Jesus has always been. Before anything else was, in eternity past, he was already there. He was there at the creation. All things are made by him, through him. He's there all through the Old Testament. He meets with all these different people. Then he comes, being born as a person, a human being in Bethlehem. He lives his life. He dies on the cross. He goes back to heaven. But he has to raise the dead first, right? Comes out of the grave, and then he goes back to heaven. And he's coming again. Yeah. Something to think about, isn't it? Jesus is coming again. And he is going to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever and ever. That's quite the lesson to think about. So come on out to Vacation Bible School. We're going to talk about that this week, right? Give you a little commercial in between here. But here we find, in Jacob's case, this man wrestling with him. And he doesn't know who it is, but he holds on. He doesn't let go. And Jacob is wrestling. He's hanging on. He's not allowing this angel or this man or this God to overpower him. Now, I'm sure if the Lord had wanted to, he could have overpowered him at any time, you know. But he's hanging on, trying to teach Jacob a lesson, wrestling with him throughout the night until daybreak. And he says, "Let me go, no, because the sun's coming up. I don't want to be here." And it says he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. So this is something Jacob would never, ever forget, right? Because from this time on, he walked with a limp, you see? And God reminded him every day of this incident. He said, "You remember when we had our wrestling match together? Here we are. And I want you to know who is the master, who is the Lord, who is the boss." And so Jacob, he resisted through the night. And he said, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me." He wanted God to speak to him in a special way and to give him something that he really needed in his life. And he says, "Oh, what's your name?" He said, "My name's Jacob." Jacob, you remember, means heel grabber, right? When he first came out of the womb, he was holding on to his brother's heel. And ever since then, he had been all kinds of cooking up all kinds of deals and taking things for himself all of his life. He says, "No, your name will no longer be Jacob. You're not going to be like that anymore. You're going to be named Israel because you have wrestled with me like a prince with God. That's what I'm going to make you." And Jacob, of course, becomes the head of the nation of Israel, the tribes of Israel. And so he names this place Peniel, which means the face of God. He said, "I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved." You know, that was something that people feared so much back in those days. And I guess still do today. You know? I think if one of us saw God in person, it'd be something to think very seriously about. And Moses, I remember, wanted to see God's glory, and the Lord only showed him the afterglow, right? The Lord passed by, and then afterwards, he got to see a little bit of God's glory, but not the full realization of who he was. And here, this God is appearing to Jacob as a man, not in his full glory, and making a difference in his life. So Jacob called the place Peniel. He said, I've seen God face to face, and I'm still alive. And he's walked away with his limp. And it's a new day. Came on. Jacob looked up and he saw Esau coming toward him with his 400 men. You know, and now he doesn't have time anymore to make any more plans or get ready for Esau because he's right there. The problem has arrived, you see. And he's coming with his army. But we notice if you read chapter 33, we won't take time to do it now. But we find Esau comes and all of Jacob's fears were for nothing because Esau embraces him, takes him in, and has forgiven him completely of all of the things that he had done against him. He's no longer an enemy, but now he's a true brother, one who loves him and is ready to be united together with him again. So Esau has forgiven him, and they're able to restore fellowship with each other again after 20 years. Think about this now. You know, people dread something so desperately, and they wonder, what's going to happen if? What is going to happen if? You know, if this happens, what am I going to do? How can I possibly make it? 20 years. Jacob had been dreading meeting Esau. You know, what am I going to do when he comes? Is he going to be still angry? Is he going to hate me? Is he going to kill me? You know, and how many of us have in our minds something, you know, oh, I sure hope that doesn't happen. If it does, what in the world would I do? Well, what are you supposed to do? Jacob had already done it here, right? When you have something that's bothering you, what do? You take it to the Lord. You know? Take it to the Lord and leave it there. Simple, right? We have the old song that says that. And certainly something that we need. Because I heard a preacher say this week something about, I forget the exact percentage, but the vast majority of things that we dread never happen. The fears that people have so often, you know, they never have to face them. And even if you do have to face it, you can face it with God's help. He's able to help us to overcome. He says, there's no temptation taking you, but it's such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with that temptation provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. You see? That's the way it is. For a believer, if you're a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you have access to the throne of grace, and you can take all of your fears, all of your doubts, all of your burdens to Him. And He can help you through all of these things and allow you to become, you can overcome all of these things. So may God help us to take a lesson from Jacob and realize that we can have victory. He's on his way back now to the promised land. We still have quite a long ways to go, but he's going to get there. And God is going to be faithful to Him in raising up this nation, and it's still going on today, isn't it? After all of these years, God has been faithful to Israel, and He is faithful to each one of us. We just need to look to Him and believe and trust Him for each and everything. Father, we thank You tonight, this morning, for Your grace and love to us and every blessing that You give us. We just ask You to help us to do Your will in all things and to not be afraid. You say so often in the Scriptures, fear not, fear not. We don't need to be afraid. We need to be faithful, true, honest, sincere, and walk in righteousness before You, and allow You to lead us in the way we ought to go. So take away the doubts and the fears, heartaches, and help us to look to You in faith, believing, and follow in the way of righteousness and truth. Thank You for Your word to our hearts today. I hope that each one of us will receive something from the Scriptures that will be a blessing to us. And we ask You to guide and help us throughout this day and throughout this week and all that we do, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified through it all. We pray in His precious name. Amen.